Okay, so I'm actually going to invite all the kids to come up because it feels like now's a good time for you to move a little bit. So we are not going to share in communion up here together right now, but I do want you to come on up and we're just going to talk about it for a little bit. So all the kids, if you are in JK up to grade 5, you can come on up and we're going to gather on this side here on the floor or in that first pew is okay too. Oh, and I'm realizing if you have any change, I don't have an envelope. So hopefully it's not more than whatever will fit in my hand. Awesome. I'm just going to lower this a bit so I can see you all. All right. Well, welcome. It's good to see your faces. So in a few minutes, I'm just going to talk to the adults for 1 minute, and then I'm going to come back to you, okay? So in a few minutes, we are going to share in the Eucharist meal, or as we commonly call it around here, sometimes the communion table together. This is something that we do regularly as a community, and it's about both remembering the story of God and experiencing the presence of God here at the table. We approach the table knowing that this is Christ's table, not ours, that Christ is the host, as we talked about last week in our sermon as well, that we are both invited and encouraged to invite others. So as such, we hold an open table where anyone can take and consume the elements of the Eucharist meal, including the younger ones in our community. And if you've been around Elevation for a while, you will know that traditionally each year we have held a first communion for our kids, the kids that are coming out of grade 1. And some of you kids, even some of you sitting on the floor here, or some who have now grown into junior youth and youth, have experienced that, have come with your classmates and taken communion here together at the front. We don't hold this as a rule for involvement with communion, but rather, as expressed earlier, we hold an open table approach to all. So some families have chosen to have their children take communion before that age. Some have chosen to wait until later. And there is no set or magical age for when the invitation all of a sudden becomes open. Rather, it is always open. And so there's no pressure to participate at all. And if you'd like to talk more about this practice or the ways that we can invite our kids into communion, we would be happy to speak with you about that, Steve and I both. But in the life of our church, we also want to continue to find ways to specifically invite our kids into this practice, whatever that looks like, into participation with us at the table. And so we also want to make sure that we're explaining this in a way that all of us can understand. Sometimes us adults use really big words, especially around these kinds of things or certain dates in the church calendar. We're using words that even some of us don't understand and words that probably a lot of kids have never heard before. So we do want to take time in our service to make sure that we are explaining what we're doing in a way that everybody can understand. So kids, whether you have received communion before, whether you've come up and taken some bread and drink, or maybe you are still anticipating that first time that you'll do that with your family, I want to talk specifically to you for a minute, okay? All right. So last month we celebrated Easter, and a lot of these same faces, we had gathered here on the floor and we talked about what Easter meant, right? Do you remember we talked about the church calendar? Does anybody remember that? Maybe one person. Awesome. That's great. So we talked about the church calendar, and we talked about how the church has these different events that a church all around the world actually celebrates these different events in the life of Christ, and we remember the life of Christ through different ways. And so Easter is one of those that's on the church calendar, and actually we're in the season of Easter. It's not just a day. It lasts for several weeks, and right now we are in the season of Easter where we remember what it means that Jesus is alive. And that week before Easter is called Holy Week. And so we talked a lot about Holy Week leading up to Easter, didn't we? We talked about Good Friday. And that night, right before Good Friday, right before the night that Jesus died, the night before, he had a special meal where he gathered all of his followers and friends, and they were sitting around having dinner. There was a big table, probably really yummy food spread out on the table. Maybe it was like a holiday meal. Are you used to some holiday meals where you eat with your family and there's good food all over the table, and everybody's just waiting for it to get passed around? And Jesus took the bread that was on the table, and he broke it, and he said, "This is like me. This is my body. This is the gift I'm giving you." And then he did the same thing with a cup. He took the cup and he said, "This is me. I'm giving you this gift." And then he asked them, "Every time you gather around the table like this, I want you to remember me in the same way. I want you to take this bread and this drink and remember the gift that I am to you." And this is what we do when we gather around communion. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it might just be that I'm like growing older and older, and my memory sometimes is not as sharp as it used to be. Does anybody else have trouble remembering things sometimes? Yes? Okay. Well, because I definitely, and maybe you have some strategies for me. One of my strategies that I use a lot is that, especially if I'm going into the grocery store, I like to have my kids with me, because then I can just tell them, "Eli, you remember bread, cheese, and bananas. Nora, you remember," and I give them each three things, and then chances are we're going to get in the grocery store and hopefully somebody will remember at least one or two of their things. But it doesn't always work. I often need some help remembering. Or when I'm driving, often I will say to my family, usually it's Tariqua or Emma Beat in the passenger seat, and I'll think of something, and I'll say, "Oh, remind me to da-da-da-da-da," whatever it is. So I definitely need some help remembering. Does anybody else have a strategy that they use to try to remember something? No? What's yours? Do it! That is a lesson for us all. Mic drop, but done. Yes. Okay. Saying it again and again, or did you say... Say it in your head again and again. Yeah, that is a good one. That is helpful. Yes, you have one. Making a list. Yes, that is a really good one too. Writing it down. Sometimes people write it on their hand even if they need to really remember and they're heading somewhere. These are all really good strategies. But you know what? God knew that we needed some help remembering. He just knew that we were created that way, that we needed some help to remember over and over again. So Jesus told them, do this over and over and over. Every time you meet together, point one another back to my love. Point people to this gift that I've given you and open the table wide. This love is for everyone. So in the Bible, we read about a group of people, and I'm just going to tell you about this group of people really quickly. And then we're going to head back to our seats. This group of people was a group of people kind of like us. It was a group of people who were trying to follow Jesus. They were gathering together. They were a church, and they were from a place called Corinth. So sometimes we refer to them as the Corinthians. And they were gathering together and trying to figure out how to follow Jesus together. And they gathered around this meal, lots and lots. Oh. Does somebody need a little bit of love over there? It looks like a sibling is trying to help. That's fantastic. Okay. So they were gathering around this meal over and over again, but they forgot something really important. They forgot what the whole point of this meal was. And you know what they started to do? They started to turn the meal into some big fancy feast with like chocolate cake, which is pretty great, right? These details might be a little bit fuzzy, okay? So we're just going to imagine. So they created this feast with some chocolate cake, and then they were kind of like pushing each other out of the way because everybody wanted to get to the chocolate cake really quickly, and all of a sudden it became a race to the chocolate cake, and then became a push to the chocolate cake, and then they thought, you know what, there's actually too many of us. We don't have enough chocolate cake. So they started thinking, how are we going to deal with this? Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll just make everybody have to pay to get in. So if everyone has to pay to get in, then that will eliminate a whole bunch of people. We'll make them stay out there. And all of a sudden, the people who didn't have money to come in weren't allowed to come in. And then maybe they made another rule and they said, well, you know what? This is our best tablecloth. It's clean. We don't want it to get dirty. So let's make sure nobody who's dirty is coming in and eating off this table because we don't want this to get dirty. So they made another rule and said, nobody who's dirty can come in. And all of a sudden, the people who were out working in the fields and their boots were muddy and they were coming, they were turned away at the door because they said, ah, no, you're muddy, you're dirty, sorry, our tablecloth is super clean, we can't come in. And you know what? There was this guy named Paul. Some of us have heard about Paul. He's written a bunch of books in the Bible. And he found out what was happening and he wrote them a letter because he was really concerned about this. He was like, wait, what's going on? I think you guys are missing the point. And so this is what he said to them. We're going to read it up here on the screen. This is from the Message Bible, which is one translation of the Bible. And he says, let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper. So that's another word for communion or the Eucharist. And why it's so centrally important. I receive my instructions from the Master himself and pass them to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, so this is just like we talked about, took bread, having given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. And what you must solemnly realize, that's a really like important word. He's saying, please realize this. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact or recreate in your words and actions the death of the Master. You'll be drawn back to this meal again and again and again until the Master returns. And this is maybe my favorite part. Then he says, so my friends, when you come to this table, be kind with one another. If you're so hungry that you can't wait to get served, go home and eat a sandwich. But by no means risk turning this meal into an eating and drinking binge. That means like eating so much that you're so full and there's somebody else who's eating nothing. Or to a family squabble. Does anybody know what a squabble is? It's like an argument or a fight or a division, dividing. So this was a way that the church was dividing. And this is what he calls it. He says, it is a spiritual meal, a love feast. It's a love feast. Last week in our sermon, we talked about this party. And so most of you were up in Kids Quest. But Tobin was in here, and he made maybe the most profound statement of the whole morning. And he said what he saw in that scripture was that God wanted the party to be full. He wanted it to be full. He did not want to turn anybody away at the doors. It was for everyone. So I'm going to invite you to head back to your seats, and in a couple minutes, we're going to come up and share in communion with your parents, okay? Okay. So I have appreciated, oh, thank you. I've appreciated Ian Morgan Cron's approach to communion over the last number of years, and some of you have heard us talk about his reflection around the importance of using the posture of receiving communion rather than taking. What does that mean for us to approach the table with a posture of receiving? And this week, I was listening to some of Ian's teachings again around this, and I was struck by the way he described the Eucharist. He says, it is a preeminent symbol that Jesus left us to understand his life, his death, his resurrection, and what it means to follow him. He didn't leave the institutes to explain what it meant. He left us bread and wine. It is the center of the story. It is the grace story. And we are invited into the story to tell our common story together every time we come together around this table and to re-narrate the world with this story. When we gather around this central expression of the picture of the Christ life, this bread and this wine or juice, we are participating in a mystery that is so profound and yet so simple. This week I was listening to an interview with this woman named Sarah Miles, and she speaks to this experience that she had. Her conversion was actually around the communion table, the Eucharist table, where she was invited into this meal of bread and wine and understanding what that meant. And it was this beautiful story. And she then spoke about how in this invitation and this realization that she was welcome here, it led her to this kind of profound understanding of what she was called to. And she realized, well, if I'm invited to this table, then I need to turn around and invite all to a table. And she actually opened up a food pantry and started inviting people to come and had food available. She had no rules around who could come or how often they could come and all of these things, because she was trying to recreate what she found at the Eucharist table in the way that she was living her life. She says that worship is the way that we learn to have a relationship with God in everything. It is in these acts that we actually learn our posture towards the world. Jesus welcomes everyone to this table, and therefore we do too. There are no qualifications around who may eat or come. And the person who was interviewing her said, she's this man, I think he knew her, so I think he could get away with saying this, but he said, that sounds irresponsible and messy. And she said, yeah, it is. This is not a social program. It's the Eucharist community, and it is messy. Larry Goodpaster, it's a great name, he wrote a book called Holy Communion and the Vision of the Beloved Community. And he says, the Eucharist may indeed provide a way forward in a way for this divided, suspicious world to find its way to a different place, an alternative and holy vision of what it means to be in community. So we gather around this table to remember. And that remembering changes us. And as we conclude here, I'm going to invite our readers to come on forward. Steve, do you mind just helping them get the mics situated? If you guys want to come on up, Summer and Connor. So we gather on this table to remember. And as we do that, it actually changes us. In our remembering, in our reminding one another and pointing one another to Christ, and gathering around this table of invitation, it changes us. It transforms us. It leads us into this holy vision, like this author pointed out, this holy vision of what it means to be community. So this morning, we are going to, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to give the instructions now so that we can lead right into gathering around the Eucharist table very soon. We're going to come forward and receive the elements here at the table, and I'll actually invite you to eat and drink those elements right here at the table as you are receiving them. And we're going to file through. If you need to go back to your seats to pick up something that you've left at your seat, you're welcome to do that around the side aisles. But if you have everything with you and you're finished here, you can actually just head out these doors and head right over to the gym. Or if you have children, you can take your kids upstairs. The older kids will be all upstairs. Infants and toddlers will be down in the nursery, just down the hall here. And all children up to grade 2 need to be signed in. So if you have a child grade 2 or under, please take them up there. And actually, I believe we're having a snack, and we do need to get parental permission for everybody. So any child, head up, if a parent, head upstairs and just sign your kid in and make sure they're okay to have the snack that's being provided. And I will also just ask, if you're an adult who is watching the kids, if you could come on up and receive your communion elements first, and then you'll be up there to receive the children as they arrive. So when we do open the table, we just invite those serving the kids first, and then the rest of you can come through. And again, I do want to emphasize that this is an open table, but participation is absolutely not expected or forced. And so if you would rather just sit and reflect during this time, feel free to do that as well. So I'm going to ask our readers up here to lead us in a responsive prayer. And our part is really simple. We just get to repeat the same line over and over again. We remember, we remember. It'll be up here on the screen, and Summer and Everett and Connor are going to read through the reading part, and we'll respond with "We remember."
When we feel alone, when we feel sad, when we feel lost, when we don't get along, when we feel afraid, when we fall down, when we are hurt, when we see others hurting, when we hurt others, when we have hope, when we know joy, when we feel peace and comfort. We gather around this table to remember.
And I'll invite those who are serving communion to come on up. And in the words of Jesus that we read earlier, we come and eat the bread, the body of Christ broken for us. And we drink the wine or juice representing the new covenant that Christ has graciously invited us into. And we approach this spiritual meal, this love feast, in remembrance of him. I invite you to come.
Live my life in remembrance. Until I see you face to face, until